Welcome back to Mechanical Dreams, the podcast where we pass the signal from the noise in the ever-evolving world of machine learning and natural language processing. I'm Professor Norris, and across the desk from me is my brilliant graduate student, Linda. How are you doing today, Linda?
I am doing great, Professor. I am so excited about the paper I brought in today. It is one of those papers that really makes you stop and rethink the basic architectural assumptions we've been operating under for the past year or two.
Ah, a paradigm shifter. I always appreciate those, provided the math holds up. What is the title of this week's paper?
It is called Rethinking the Role of Efficient Attention in Hybrid Architectures, coming out of Tsinghua University and OpenBMB. It takes a hard look at how we build models to handle extremely long contexts, like entire books or massive agentic workflows.
Ah, the long context frontier. It seems like every week there's a new model claiming a million token context window. I remember when we were thrilled just to squeeze 512 tokens into BERT. For our audience, let's briefly set the stage. The core of all these modern language models is standard softmax attention. But standard attention has a well-known Achilles heel when it comes to these massive sequences.
Exactly. Full attention is theoretically beautiful because every single token looks at every other preceding token. But that means the computational cost and memory footprint grow quadratically with the sequence length. If you double the context, the cost quadruples. And it's not just training compute. The memory footprint for the KV cache during inference becomes monstrous. When you try to scale that up to hundreds of thousands of tokens, it becomes prohibitively expensive, even for the most well-funded labs.
Right. You end up burning through GPU clusters faster than my undergraduates burn through their coffee budgets during finals week. So, to get around this quadratic bottleneck, the field has heavily moved towards hybrid architectures.
Yes, and that's where the core of this paper lies. A hybrid architecture essentially interweaves layers of that expensive full attention with layers of efficient attention. The goal is to get the best of both worlds, the deep, long-range reasoning capabilities of full attention, but at a fraction of the compute cost.
And by efficient attention, we're typically talking about mechanisms that scale linearly rather than quadratically, correct? Things like sliding window attention, where a token only looks at a fixed number of its immediate neighbors, or these newer recurrent sequence mixes.
Exactly. Sliding window attention, or SWA, is incredibly popular. And lately, we're seeing a massive surge in recurrent mixers like Mamba 2, Lightning Attention, or Gated DeltaNet. They compress the past history into a compact, recurrent state instead of keeping everything in memory. Models like Gemma 3 and DeepSeek are already using these hybrid designs heavily to achieve their massive context windows.
So we have a proven recipe. We mix full attention for the heavy lifting with efficient attention to process the local context. It's essentially standard practice in the industry now. So what exactly is this Tsinghua paper rethinking? Are they proposing yet another efficient module that claims to be marginally better on some obscure benchmark? Because I have to admit, Linda, I'm getting a bit fatigued by the endless parade of new linear attention variants. Every time I open Archive, there are three new acronyms.
I know you are, Professor, which is exactly why I picked this paper. They actually do not propose a new efficient module at all. Instead, they point out that we almost have no unified mechanistic understanding of what these efficient modules are actually doing inside the hybrid models. How do different efficient attention designs truly shape the capabilities and the training dynamics of the model?
That's a much better question. We're bolting these recurrent mixes and sliding windows onto our standard full attention layers and just hoping the optimizer figures it out. It's a bit more alchemy than computer science right now.
Exactly. So to address this gap, the authors conducted a massive systematic analysis across multiple hybrid architectures. They looked at scaling behavior, they did a mechanistic analysis of the information routing, and they looked at architectural design principles. They trained models ranging from 15 million up to sub-billion parameters under strictly controlled conditions, comparing standard full attention against hybrids using sliding windows of different sizes, as well as those recurrent mixers we mentioned.
Ah, a controlled scaling law set up across different hybrid combinations. That's no small feat. It takes a massive amount of compute and engineering discipline just to run the baselines for that kind of study. I assume they found something interesting enough to justify the GPU bill.
Oh, they absolutely did. And what they found from those scaling curves completely challenges the intuitive reason we thought we were adding these efficient modules in the first place.
All right, Linda. You left us hanging on the edge of our seats at the end of the last segment. What did these scaling curves actually show?
Let us start with the short context performance. They measured this using standard validation loss on a held-out set of short documents. And the result was basically a flat tie. All the hybrid architectures, whether they used a 128-token sliding window or a complex lightning attention, overlapped almost perfectly with the full attention baseline.
That is not too shocking, to be honest. Short context is relatively easy. A recurrent state or a small window is plenty to capture local grammar and syntax. The real test of these hybrid architectures is how they handle long documents.
Exactly. But tracking long context capability during pre-training is tricky. Standard discrete benchmarks like ruler or needle in a haystack are too unstable and jumpy to fit smooth scaling laws. So they used a continuous metric called long PPL.
Ah, long perplexity. I have seen that gaining traction. It essentially isolates the perplexity specifically for tokens that require long-range context to predict correctly, right?
Spot on. It gives a really smooth, continuous proxy for long context capability. So they plotted the long PPL scaling curves across different training budgets. And here is the scaling surprise. In the low data regime, early in training, there's a massive gap. The different efficient attention designs behave very differently.
Okay, so architecture does matter.
It does, but only at first. As you push the training token budget further and further, something magical happens. The gaps shrink rapidly, and all the hybrids converge to almost the exact same long context performance level. They all match the full attention baseline.
Hold on. Let me make sure I'm hearing you right. You're saying that if I train long enough, a model with a tiny 128-token sliding window converges to the same long context capability as a model using Mamba 2 or gated DeltaNet. That makes absolutely no sense.
I know. It's completely counterintuitive. We usually assume that a fancier sequence mixer with a theoretically unbounded receptive field will inherently capture long-range information better than a simple, fixed sliding window.
Precisely. If the recurrent state can compress the entire history of a document, it should blow a fixed 128-token window out of the water on a long-context task. A sliding window literally can't see past its nose. But you're telling me they tie?
They tie. The paper concludes that the efficient attention design has almost no effect on the eventual long-context capability of the hybrid model.
Then why on earth are researchers spending thousands of hours designing these complex recurrent modules if a simple sliding window gets you to the exact same finish line?
Because while the finish line is the same, the speed at which they run the race is vastly different. The paper frames the efficient attention module not as the carrier of long-range information, but as an optimization prior. It shapes how quickly the model develops its long-context capabilities during training.
An optimization prior. So it's just scaffolding. It helps guide the optimization landscape during training, but doesn't actually define the architectural ceiling.
Exactly. The final converged level is actually set by the full attention layers that all these hybrids share. Since they alternate full and efficient layers one-to-one, they all have the same underlying capacity for long-range retrieval. The efficient module just dictates how fast those full attention layers figure out their job.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but my skeptical hat is still firmly on my head. If the efficient layers aren't doing the long-range retrieval, and they're just acting as this optimization prior, how is the model actually finding the needle in the haystack? Who's doing the heavy lifting?
That's the million-dollar question. To figure it out, the authors had to do some fascinating mechanistic probing, which leads us to a highly amusing phenomenon they call large window laziness.
So, we are back to this mystery. if all these hybrid models converge to the same long context capability, and the efficient modules like Mamba 2 or large sliding windows are just acting as optimization priors, who is actually doing the long-range memory work? Who is finding the needle in the haystack?
To answer that, the authors ran two brilliant mechanistic experiments. The first was an inference time receptive field constraint. They took their fully trained hybrid models and literally put blinders on them during evaluation. First, they restricted the receptive field of the efficient attention modules to about 2,000 tokens and measured the long perplexity.
Okay, so if the recurrent state, or the sliding window, is the thing storing the long-range history, crippling it at inference time should make the model's performance absolutely tank.
Exactly, but that is not what happened. When they restricted the efficient attention, the long perplexity barely budged. But when they swapped the constraint and restricted the full attention layers to 2,000 tokens, the perplexity skyrocketed. The models completely lost their long context capabilities.
Wow, that is a smoking gun right there. Even in models with sophisticated recurrent sequence mixes, which theoretically have an infinite memory horizon, the long-range retrieval is almost exclusively being handled by the standard full attention layers.
They corroborated it with layer-wise probing, too. They fed the models a needle-in-a-haystack prompt and trained a logistic regression probe on the hidden states of every single layer to see where the needle's information actually surfaced. Remember, these models alternate layers. Layer 1 is full attention, layer 2 is efficient, layer 3 is full, and so on.
Let me guess, the probing accuracy only spiked on the odd-numbered layers.
You nailed it. The incremental accuracy gains happened almost entirely at the middle full attention layers. The efficient attention layers contributed virtually nothing to the retrieval accuracy, and in some cases, they actually reduced it slightly. The long-range information is introduced and processed entirely by full attention.
That perfectly explains our scaling surprise from the previous segment. If full attention is the only thing doing the heavy lifting for long documents, then of course all the hybrids converge to the same performance ceiling. They all share the exact same full attention mechanism. The playing field is entirely level.
Exactly. But that brings us to the speed of convergence and this hilarious concept of large window laziness. Because if they all have the same full attention layers, why does a model with a tiny 128 token sliding window learn long range retrieval so much faster than a model with a massive 2048 sliding window?
I am dying to know. How does a larger window make the model lazy?
It all comes down to gradient signals during pre-training. The authors used Llama 3 to map out how much training signal exists at different distances in the training data. What they found is that the vast majority of useful dependencies for predicting the next token exist within the first 2,000 tokens of history. Beyond that, the gradient signal decays to a flat baseline.
Ah, I see where this is going. If you give the efficient attention layer a huge window, say 2048 tokens, it already has access to most of the useful information needed to predict the next token. It can solve the problem locally.
Yes, and if the model can easily predict the next token using just the local sliding window, the loss function is satisfied. That means there's hardly any gradient signal flowing back to the full attention layers telling them, hey, you need to learn how to retrieve information from 10,000 tokens away.
The full attention layers get starved of optimization pressure. It's the machine learning equivalent of coasting through high school because the classes are too easy, and then hitting a brick wall in college. The large sliding window acts like a crutch.
That is the perfect analogy. Conversely, if you use a tiny 128 token sliding window, a huge chunk of that useful training signal falls outside the efficient layer's receptive field. The model is forced to route that information through the full attention layers to minimize the loss. This provides a dense, continuous gradient that forces the full attention layers to develop long-range retrieval capabilities immediately.
That is brilliantly intuitive. Did they actually peek under the hood to verify this starvation effect?
They did. They tracked the formation of retrieval heads across the training process. We've talked about retrieval heads before, those specific attention heads that learn to copy tokens from the context. They monitored the attention entropy and the query key weight gradients of these heads.
Let me guess, the retrieval heads in the large window models were completely asleep at the wheel.
Completely asleep. In the 2048 window model, the attention entropy of its best retrieval heads stayed incredibly high and blurry for a long time. The gradients on their query key matrices were practically flat initially. They were demonstrably undertrained early on. Meanwhile, in the 128 window model, those same heads sharpened up and activated much earlier in the training run.
So, paradoxically, giving the efficient attention module less capacity actually makes the overall hybrid model learn long context tasks faster and better because it forces the full attention layers to do their job.
Exactly. The practical bottleneck for long context capability is not how powerful your efficient attention module is, it's how effectively that module forces the full attention layers to learn long-range retrieval.
This completely flips the script on how we should be designing these models. We shouldn't be engineering hyper-complex recurrent state spaces to memorize books. We should be engineering modules that intentionally drop information to force the full attention layers to work harder.
Which is a perfect segue, because the authors took this exact principle and applied it to test some new architectural designs, and the results were pretty phenomenal.
So, Linda, you mentioned the authors put this lazy window theory to the test. If our goal is to whip the full attention layers into shape and force them to learn long-range retrieval, how exactly did they modify the architecture to do that?
They investigated three specific design choices to see how we could better activate that long-range retrieval. The first thing they looked at was the ratio of full attention to efficient attention layers. We have been talking about a 1-to-1 ratio so far.
Right, alternating layer by layer, but full attention is still computationally brutal. Can we get away with fewer of them? Say, one full attention layer for every three efficient ones?
They tested exactly that 1-to-3 ratio. At smaller model scales, the sparser model performed noticeably worse on long context tasks. Presumably, there just were not enough full attention layers to do the heavy lifting. But as they scaled the model size up, the gap completely closed.
That is a huge win for efficiency. If you are training a massive multi-billion parameter model, you can safely reduce the density of full attention layers and save a ton of compute, as long as you have enough of them in total.
Exactly. They also tested whether we should mix these attention types layer by layer or within the same layer, which they call headwise mixing. It turns out headwise mixing did not offer any advantage and actually slowed down the long context convergence. So layer-wise is still the way to go.
Keep it simple. I like it. But what about directly strengthening the full attention layers? If they are the star of the show for long context, can we give them a direct boost?
Yes, and this is where they made their most impactful tweak. They took their best performing fast learner, the sliding window attention, with a tiny 128 token window, and applied a technique called NOPE to its full attention layers.
NOPE? Let me guess, no positional encodings.
You got it. Previous studies have shown that removing positional encodings from full attention layers actually enhances their ability to retrieve over long ranges. It happens because the attention heads do not get distracted by absolute positions and can focus purely on semantic matching.
So they just stripped the rotary embeddings or whatever positional encodings they were using entirely out of the full attention layers.
Just the full attention layers, yes. The sliding window layers kept theirs to handle the local structure. And the results were fantastic. This simple modification yielded a clear, substantial gain in long context capability. It dominated on long context benchmarks like Ruler and Longbench, especially when they extended the context out to 32K tokens.
And I assume it did not break the short context performance.
Not at all. The short context validation loss and benchmark scores remained practically identical. It was a pure upgrade for long-range tasks.
That is beautiful. It's such an elegant validation of their entire mechanistic theory. You use a small sliding window to deny the model an easy local crutch, which forces the full attention layers to activate early. And then you remove positional encodings from those full attention layers to remove any friction, letting them excel at pure retrieval.
It really shifts the paradigm, Professor. Instead of agonizing over the math of a new recurrent state space model or trying to invent a better local window, we should be asking how our efficient modules interact with full attention. The efficient attention is not the engine of long-range reasoning. It's just the optimization prior. It dictates how effectively the engine gets tuned.
A perfect analogy to wrap up on, Linda. This paper is a masterclass in not just accepting benchmark numbers at face value, but diving deep into the why and the how of neural network training dynamics. Large window laziness is definitely going into my syllabus for next semester.
I'm so glad you liked it. It's definitely one of my favorite reads this year.
Thank you again for bringing this to the desk, Linda. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in to Mechanical Dreams. Keep your sliding windows sharp, your retrieval head sharp, and your full attention focused. We'll see you next week.